Hi, everybody. I am Heather Markell with Heather Begins, and this is another episode of the Inspired Nomads series. What happens when you leave stability and go travel the world? So with us today is Julie London, coming to us from Panama, Bocas del Toro, which is a place I have been and loved, and I'm really looking forward to hearing her insights about traveling the world. So Julie, welcome. Thank you for joining us today.
Yeah, thank you.
And I was saying to Julie that I'm just completely jealous because she has this beautiful backdrop behind her while I have this white wall. You're all colorful. I just love it. So thank you. So how long have you been traveling at this point?
I left the U.S. 15 months ago.
Wow. Okay. It's a long time. And what is the stability that you left?
I had an excellent career as a software engineer at Disney. I left my condo. I sold that, my car. I gave away basically almost everything I own except for the sentimental things.
You know what? Let me ask you something. Okay, so I'm hearing you gave away a lot. Did you try to sell a lot of your stuff as well?
I really didn't. Mostly because I'm lazy. Also because I thought maybe the tax credit might be beneficial to me. So no, I just donated almost all of it, including a massive Star Wars collection.
Oh my God.
Held on to, but you know, somebody else will enjoy it instead of it sitting in storage.
Yes, you probably made somebody very, very happy. Well, you know what? There's always karma, right? So somehow that's gonna come back to you.
I hope so.
Maybe like be an extra in a future Star Wars movie or something.
Right.
So what's the reason that you, it sounds like you had a good job, you had stuff, you know, like why bother leaving all of that behind?
Well, I spent a year traveling when I was in my late 20s, and, you know, it was just such a life transforming event for me. And when I came back, it was a really rough landing back into American culture and our whole like focus on consumerism and materialism, loss of community. And I started planning then. I mean, this was something I've basically been planning for almost 20 years, you know, just putting all the steps in place. It took that long to, you know, gather the financial resources, basically. But basically, it mostly represents a rejection of standard American culture, and also just my desire to have new experiences and understand how other people are living their lives.
Yeah, and I think we talked about you had studied anthropology. Coincidentally, it turns out we're both graduate and undergraduate of the same college. So shout out to George Washington University. you know, that's something that I've been wrestling with, actually, so I'm curious, because as I travel and I'm spending so much less than I ever did back in New York, and looking around me, I mean, I'm most places apart from the US and Western Europe that I've been on this journey, they have so much less money and less stuff and less, their homes are smaller, and it really is starting to make me, I'm really wrestling with that. Like, why? Why is it that the wealth is so different? And you see, I mean, you must be, you know, you're happy, right? You're happy, but you don't need all of that stuff to be happy. So
you don't. And I was just, because I'm getting ready to go to Honduras for the summer. So I'm like packing the little things I have. I'm living in Bocas del Toro's more or less now, but I'm still living out of a suitcase.
Yeah.
And I was looking at my little pile of clothes, and it's a really little pile. It doesn't even fit like one drawer that I used to have. And I was thinking, I have everything I need.
Yeah.
You know, I don't need more than this. I don't need more than two pairs of jeans or, you know, four pairs of shoes or whatever it is.
Yeah. It's amazing. So when you started your journey, and I'm sorry, there's a, if you might be able to hear the truck in the background beeping, sorry about that. When you started this journey, did you, you've talked about the rejection of the cultural values and so forth, but was there a goal in mind that you had at the time that you left?
Well, my goal was really just to get out.
Yeah.
So, I mean, I have small goals. I mean, they're difficult goals for me, but relatively small in the grand scheme, like to become fluent in Spanish and to spend more time in nature, which has been very easy on this journey so far.
Okay. And as you've been at this journey now about a year and a half, anything, any lessons that you've learned along the way about yourself, about life, that you maybe found unexpected or surprising?
Yeah, the main thing, I think the main takeaway for me is that the less expectations, the better. Because if you have expectations and they don't go your way, the natural response is to be disappointed. So right. If you can remove expectations from the equation, then you can just sort of enjoy the experience for what it is.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, and when you say remove the expectations, it's about the journey or about more than that?
More about like what you're expecting to see. Like I spent a month in Costa Rica and I had all of these visions of just tramping through the jungle and seeing sloths like dancing in the trees. And Costa Rica is much more heavily touristed than I expected. So it was hard to get away from people. And at first I was really disappointed because I'd go to a national park hoping to see all these animals, but there'd be people on the trails everywhere and children crying and screaming and I couldn't see anything. And I finally just realized like Costa Rica is a wonderful place, but it's not what I expected. But now that I just sort of take it at what it is, I can enjoy it and not be disappointed.
And have you, during the 15 months, about how much time, which countries did you go to and how much time-ish did you spend in each?
Yeah, I like to travel slowly. You know, like when I'm in a country, I'd rather stay in a city for a week or 10 days or whatever to just sort of get more of an experience of it and understanding of it. But I started in Mexico in Puerto Vallarta because my sister lived there. So I spent about 3 weeks with her. And then I went to Mexico City where coincidentally I had several friends who didn't even know each other who just happened to be in the city. So that was nice.
Wow.
And then I went to Costa Rica for a month. And then I came to Bocas del Toro for 2 weeks.
Yep.
But it really ended up being, I mean, I'm still here, so. I've gone back to the States twice to visit friends and family for a wedding, and I went to Colombia, the Amazon, and Curacao, because that's a place that I thought I might want to settle. When I left, I had a list of places that I thought I might want to settle, and Bocas del Toro was one, Curacao was another. So I had an opportunity to see that and realize that Curacao is not for me.
Mm-hmm. Great. And what are you doing or have you found as ways to make money? Because I think that's something that as people leave stability behind, and even if you save up, the money's going to last a certain amount of time and then you may need more. So what have you found?
Well, I've been fortunate because I had a high-paying career, and being a single woman without children, I was able to save a very large. And when I would get a raise, I wouldn't, you know, go buy a fancy car or buy a fancier house. I just kept my, you know. So I'm fortunate. I'm living off of my investment.
Okay, that's great. Yeah, and I think. Something I've talked about with a few people so far is I think when you set out to do this journey, I mean, I certainly took a long time to do it because I thought that you can only do this if you're wealthy. And at the end of the day, at least the places I've been, you just live so far below the means that you needed back in the US that you just don't need that much money. And if you've saved up something substantial, it is surprising to me how long that money can last. I'm baffled.
And I'm not wealthy, and my my budget would be considered like almost poverty level if I was in the US. But in a developing country, it's reasonable.
Yeah. Have you come across any, I know something that has happened to me a few times is I'm just innately good at like selling. So, oftentimes I'll be in a store and just be excited about either maybe a woman's got trying an outfit on and I just will like tell her like why I think it looks good or bad. Or I was in a tea store once and knew the teas, and these gentlemen were trying to pick one, and I told them all about my favorite one of the teas, so they bought 5 boxes of it. I'm frequently asked by shop owners if I want a job. So does that ever happen to you? Like some random person asking you if you need a job?
No, they haven't. They haven't. It really doesn't come up too much, you know?
Yeah. I guess depending on who you are and the circumstances.
I'm not a salesperson at all, so.
No, yeah. But I think, sometimes we get into conversations with people just because maybe we're at a coffee shop or whatever, and it just, you click with someone and it turns out that your skill set and interests are, they need someone like you. And So those are kind of, I guess I think of that for anyone watching the series that might worry, kind of like, well, what am I going to do next? Something I certainly didn't think about when I left is, at least in the US, you think, okay, so it's a corporate job and I got to get my resume together and that's it. That's really, if I can't find a corporate job, what am I going to do? And traveling, it's like, there's so many things you can do. So many ways to make money, and a lot of it is through connections. A lot of it is, this necklace, I don't know if you can see it, but this necklace I'm wearing, I bought in Purmamarca a few weeks ago, and it's this guy that has traveled all over the world and learned different wire wrapping techniques and buys beautiful stones and basically makes his living. And again, he's not wealthy, but I mean, he's traveling the world and wrapping beautiful stones with jewelry, and he sells his jewelry in different places and makes enough money to live. So these are various ways that, that if you're watching the series, just remember that opportunities to make money are kind of all around us, and just don't make sure that you consider that, and you don't have to worry that if you leave something, you'll never find work again.
Yeah, absolutely. And I've met several people who have found good jobs online teaching English, or even a woman I met here who is a school psychologist, and she works remotely.
Wow. Okay. Remote work too is another great opportunity that's available to all of us. So I love that too. Curious question. So the tattoos, did you get those while traveling, before traveling?
This one, the octopus is the newest one. Yes, I got that here in Bocas. And it's supposed to remind me to not take things too seriously, because they actually, that wasn't the intention, but it's actually, it's a decapus because it's got 10 arms.
That's fabulous. Okay. That is cool.
And the other one this is my dog memorial arm, and this one is a cover-up of a tattoo that I got when I was in Indonesia from a medicine man, and it looked like a total prison tattoo. It was so jacked up. So,
how funny. Okay. No, I love, and that is a great reminder, right? Not to take things too seriously. Also, while we travel sometimes, because.
Yeah, you've got to have a sense of humor and just roll with things. Otherwise, you'll drive yourself crazy.
Yeah. And curious, because I'm noticing, is this also something, the bracelets, have they Did you get them while traveling or have them before?
This one is actually from my time in San Francisco. This one is probably 15 years old. Just a reminder of old friends. This one I got in Guatemala. This one, I don't know. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, because a few of us are racking up bracelets. I have a bunch of necklaces now. I don't know. There's something about the travel. If anyone has gone to Vietnam, you get these like fabric bracelets that you are on you till they fall off or you cut them off. So yeah. So for anyone watching this and kind of perhaps wanting to do this crazy thing where they're going to leave the work behind and go travel for an extended period of time, what would be like your biggest tip or recommendation for someone like that?
Plan ahead, have a plan in place. Because otherwise it's everything is just going to be too chaotic.
Yeah.
And for me, the anxiety level of not knowing how I'm going to function and it was just a lot of things that have to be taken into consideration, like how are you going to handle your health insurance and your cell phone and your snail mail? Those were really like three big pieces that I figured out while I was traveling that it would have just eased some stress and been easier to accomplish if I had done it before I left.
Speaking of, and obviously for anyone listening, you need to do your own research on these things because you are an individual, the country that you're from, your income level, your work situation, all these things are individual to you. So the question I'm about to ask, please do not take the answer as the answer. You need to research. But I'm just curious, for health insurance, like what in your research and your findings, where did that take you? And have you found any good health insurance companies that you've used?
Yeah, so I ended up going with an international plan through Cigna, which is not the same Cigna that we have in the US. I think it's like an umbrella company somehow, but they're not directly related.
Okay.
So it's an international plan that basically covers me anywhere in the world. The premium depends on your home country. And it also gives me 3 months of coverage in the U.S. if I happen to be there or I decided I wanted to go back there for treatment or something like that. And the cost is significantly less than I would pay for coverage in the U.S., of course.
Okay. And have you ever heard of World Nomads or used them?
Yeah, I've heard of them and I started looking into policies like that, but a lot of them didn't seem comprehensive enough. They seemed more geared towards medical emergencies you might experience while traveling, or they were for a finite period of time. And the policy that I have, I can have for the rest of my life if I choose to.
Okay.
You know, they have a full rider out. So, you know, you have to provide information on any pre-existing conditions and all of that sort of thing that they take into account when they're figuring out the premium for you. But then you're good once you're in.
Okay. That's great. So this is a topic that hasn't come up yet. So thank you, because I do think for anyone that wants to travel for more than 3 or 6 months, you are going to run into needing a more extensive insurance policy. So great. So there's a couple of ideas to look into: Cigna International, World Nomads. And you also mentioned before, it's funny, I'm the same as you. I think it was, I looked in a journal before, like while I was packing my stuff up and putting it into storage, I found something I wrote 18 years before, wondering what my life would be like if I just did what I wanted, which was just like quit and go travel.
Yeah.
So in terms of, you mentioned how you had saved as well. Any tips for anyone on good ways to save money?
I think if you can make a distinction in your mind between the things that you need and the versus the things that you actually want, because there's a huge divide there.
Yeah.
What we really need is not much, you know.
Right.
We've been programmed to think that we need, you know, the hand mixers and the blenders and the Cuisinarts and every fancy gadget every year and all of the new clothes all the time. That's, I mean, for me, just not spending,
right,
except on things that were important to me, like trips, traveling, I've always been willing to spend money on, but I've never been a big shopper, or, you know, the things have never been important to me. So that, I mean, it was relatively easy for me. I know it's hard for a lot of people.
That's a great point. And I know that when I started getting serious about wanting to do this, you know, more and more serious, I did start asking myself, as I would look at the Cuisinart or the thing, whatever it was, that I thought I needed, and I would say, you know, do I want this, or do I want to put that money towards travel?
Exactly.
And if you think about it, if you are serious about traveling, you're actually not going to be able to take with you most of the stuff.
Right.
So you're kind of basically buying stuff that you're either going to pay for in storage or give to someone else anyway. So consider that.
Right.
So cool. So Julie, are there any other, like, any last comments or tips that you have before we close up?
I would say, you know, that one of the best things that you can do, not just if you are interested in a life of travel, but just in general, is to become educated about financial management, you know, and take the time, because if you pay attention, you can save a lot more money than you think you can.
Oh, I love that. Any recommendations for where someone can go learn about financial management?
There's a website called Motley Fool, and there's also another one called Penny Hoarder, and they have just great personal finance tips.
Okay.
And there's a lot of apps out there that can help. Like, I really like Mint, which is great for setting budgets and even goals, and just tracking your transactions and what you're spending your money on.
Oh, I love that. I actually took a financial planning class at New York University several years ago, and it was just one of the best decisions I ever made, because it has infuriated me that we're all educated to go and get a job, but nobody actually teaches us what to do with the money.
I don't understand that at all. It's like such a failing in the U.S. educational system.
Yeah. I don't know that, I'm not sure it's just the U.S., but the U.S. certainly, even in college, I don't recall a financial planning 101 class that was even available to me, and I don't know that today's students maybe have it. I'm not sure, but home economics is just not the same thing. So, great tips. Thank you. That's awesome. And if anyone's watching this and wanted to reach out to you and ask you some questions or get to know you, what's the best way for them to do that?
That would probably be my Instagram account.
Okay.
And my handle is Pixel, P-I-X-E-L, Parfait, P-A-R-F-A-I-T.
Perfect. Well, thank you so much for joining today. These tips are amazing. I think today we focused a lot on, like, finance and insurance and planning, and these are all amazing things that points to capture and think about if you're going to just go for it and jump off the cliff, which I highly recommend. But, you know, as we've talked about today, there are some realistic points that you need to think about before you do that. So, as you know, this is the Inspired Nomads video series. This is our fourth episode, and I've been so inspired just by, I feel like I'm learning so much from each person that I talk to, and I would love to talk to more of you. So if you are listening, or you know someone else that is over 40, has left something stable, and is out there in the world traveling, or maybe has traveled for some time and is back even, I would love to talk to them. And the best way that you can connect with me is to fill out an application. at www.interviewquestionnaire.com, and I'm going to be posting that below so that you know how to spell that. And you can just fill out the form, and then I will get in touch with you, and we will set up a time to connect on Zoom, or if you happen to be in the same country and city as me, love to meet you live. So this interview comes to you. I'm in Argentina for this one, moving around, don't know where I'll be for the next one. But this has been an absolute joy, and I hope that you're finding these videos inspirational. If you are, definitely let me know. And if there are questions that you have that you'd like me to ask people or you want to know more about, also tell me what those are so I can make sure to ask. So until the next video, thank you again, Julie, for joining us. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening, and I'll look forward to talking to you on the next video. Bye.